Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Review Behind the Scenes, and this is The Writing Corner. My name is Michelle Cornwell Jordan. I'm one of your hosts, and Jamie White, my co-host, is joining me. And tonight, we're chatting with author C.P. Bialowitz. He will give us tips and techniques to help better our writing. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hi. Good. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Jamie, you sounded like the, what is it, nanoitis is what I call it.
Well,
you've been writing all day.
Right now. I'm also editing something and trying to get nano in. And I've also got some help tonight, so yeah.
She's busy. She's got that. That's the nano schedule, guys. Oh, my goodness. Well, CP, I'm looking forward to it. Every time you always tap into my inner mind and, you know, and have something really timely and on point. So what are we chatting about this evening?
Well, I thought I'd upset the one of the typical apple carts when it comes to writing a little bit.
Okay.
One of the things we always say when we're writing characters is we need characters that people like. And lately, the last couple of weeks, I've been working to get Jamie hooked on Seinfeld. She's fighting me on it, but I'm working on it. And watching the show, I kind of had this thought, like, you know, none of these characters are likable. They're just familiar enough that people enjoy them. So I was sitting there looking at books, and it's like, yeah, why do we have to write likable characters? Don't we have to just, you know, we can have good characters, but they don't necessarily have to be likable. They have just enough qualities where we actually, you know, feel for them or appreciate them. And enjoy them, then that helps carry the story. You can look at various works. I think like Stephen King, when he was writing under Richard Bachman, his one book, Thinner. The main character, the lawyer, he had no redeemable qualities.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, I mean, he was, for lack of a better term, an ass. You know, and it's just like in the movie and everything else. I mean, there was really nothing really likable about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, so it comes down to that little cliche. It's like, yeah, do we want likable characters? Yeah, potentially, but, you know, do we really need the likable characters? And I know I'm probably going to get a lot of love letters for this one, but it's kind of like, you know, just look at, like I said, like Seinfeld and some other shows and other movies, you know, why can't it just be characters that we're familiar with? You know, we can still have a good character. You know, I was writing my Titanic story, basically the two main characters, neither one of them are really likable. There's very few redeeming qualities. But I just kind of thought they were fun. I liked their interactions and everything like that. So it's
right.
So I just thought I kind of just throw it out there and just said, okay, well, let's just, you know, break it down. Are we looking for characters that we actually want to like, or we want a character that we actually relate to? You know, it comes down to our personal preference. Like, what do we look for in them when we're reading a book? Do we want characters that, okay, I can appreciate what they're going through. I can appreciate that. Okay, I would do that. I would do this. Do we get closer to them when we're actually, you know, they're doing something that we would potentially do, or how would, if we'd react in a certain situation, or are we looking for characters that we just outright enjoy? You know, that we just love them. They're fantastic. They're like, you know, they're the superheroes. You know, like I'm not shy about it. I love horror movies, and one of my favorite franchises is Friday the 13th. I love Jason Voorhees. You know, it's just fun to watch a big guy that's basically an outcast, everything else, to, you know, kind of be. Take charge. So I was like, He's not like.
Hold up. Did you just say Jason Voorhees takes charge? Well, yes, he does. But isn't it in a negative way? Okay, we're going to be talking about that all night, guys.
Yeah, it is. It's like, but that's when you kind of look at the backstory. It's like, I mean, a lot of people, you know, when they hear the movies or whatever, they just go, oh, it's just this, it's just that. But the first movie came about because there was a mother that was willing to kill to avenge her child that was wrongfully died. Then the child basically comes back from the dead to do the same thing. His mother's beheaded, and he comes back to punish people in the area for wrongfully taking away his mother. So it's like the mother would kill for the son would kill for the mother. You know, so it's like, it's very negative.
Well,
obviously, it's negative.
Yeah.
You don't want to model your life after someone walks through a jungle or forest with a machete and hacks people to pieces. Obviously, you don't do that.
Right.
But when you get down to it, it's like, okay, there is that underscore of love between the two characters. You know, it's like, and yeah,
okay,
when you put it that way.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
When you put it that way.
Kind of context matters.
Right. I get what you're saying. And, you know, and I truly, because I'm going to tell you, I love Seinfeld. That was one is. And I think it's because it's just things that I would think. The things that they do and say, I've heard people say and do, and it's just so random, and it's so real life, and they are so identifiable, and they are human, and they are likable some days, and some days are repulsive, just like, you know, every human being. But I think there's like a, I think that is a fine line to be able to do. I mean, I think whoever can pull it off, you know, if you can pull off a non-likable character, but somehow keep the reader invested with that character, I think that's awesome. But how would you do that? I don't know. To be honest, I have no idea how the writers kept me invested with that bunch, because they should have ended up where they ended up, and I can't say in case people haven't seen the show. But how do you do it? How do you balance that? Because I've always been taught with writing, you've got to get the readers invested. They've got to like the character somehow to care about what happens to them. But how do you do it? How do you keep us invested in a story where everybody's, you know, terrible? I don't know.
Well,
I think they do it because they're identifiable. You know what I mean? I mean, they do things that human beings do. And I think maybe that's their little niche. I don't know.
That's exactly my thoughts on it. If you look at it,
yeah,
it's a very simple form. They do it in pretty much every horror movie, every, you know, sci-fi movie, the B-rated ones, everything else. It's like the characters are sitting there. It's like they could go deeper unless you have like Vincent Price or someone that could actually really add a lot to the role. They stayed relatively shallow characters. You know, they didn't really write them in depth. They wrote them so people could, you know, appreciate them and like them. So, okay, if this character dies, it's like your Uncle Jim dying, you're going to cry. It's like your sister dying, you're going to cry.
Right.
You'll be upset, you'll feel that. And I think if you put enough things in there that are kind of reality-based and just true, you can actually pull people in. I mean, I've had some characters where
I agree with you.
I wrote them to be, you know, total jackasses and be like, oh, I love this character. I'm like, you do? You're supposed to hate that character. That character's the scum of the earth here. I'm like, okay. And they're like, oh, yeah, it reminds me of my, you know, of my aunt or my cousin or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. More power to you, because everyone sees something different. And like I said, Nat, just watching Seinfeld, so it got me thinking about that, because I had a couple of characters that people just liked that they weren't exactly the deepest. I didn't really delve into what made them tick. Like I said, if you have a soldier that's basically spent 20 years in the military just killing people, like spend different time from, let's say, medieval times, you know, and that's all they know, they're not going to be the soft, lovey-dovey, touchy type. You know, it's extremely difficult to get deep inside their heads. And you know, you can actually show more through their actions of what they're doing or what they intend to do. And some people, well, you know, people that may have been in the military or people that love history and, like, you maybe study, like, say, the Crusades or whatever, they'll understand that type of mindset. They'll understand what it's like, whether it's PTSD or whatever, and they'll feel for the character. Others sit there and like,
okay,
well, what's this? What's this jackass's problem? It's like, oh, I can just kill him, you know. So it's, you know, I can just kill him. It's like, it depends on each person. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, yeah, it's good to have likable characters, but, you know, a lot of times, what are likable? you know, likable to us, it can be likable to someone else. So I think if we put just put a lot of what, you know, the different personalities in it, give them their own personalities, for me, they kind of take over and they'll tell us what they're doing. You know, they'll tell us their history, and that can help endear them to someone, because a lot of times, whenever we put something in there, we're using our own life experiences, like people we see, something we see. Like I said, I like the Friday 13th. I like Jason, but, you know, it's like, it's obviously not something you're going to worship. You know, you're not going to sit there and want to be like that.
We hope.
Yeah.
That was funny. I don't know. It was just so funny just now when you said that. You like to, you just said it so casually. And I was like, wait a minute. My mind had to actually do a double take. But you know what? I was having this conversation somewhere, and I can't even remember. But you're right. I tend to like the anti-heroes or the ones that, you know, are a little bit dark. Because sometimes the really good ones, the perfect ones, they are boring. I know that sounds terrible. Because back in the day, you know, back in, like, you know, the day, you know, the good guys wear white hats and the black guys wear, not the black guys, excuse me. Not the black guys, sorry. The bad guys wear black hats. Oh, guys, don't ding me. Anyway, they wore the two hats. And so there was a definition of what was good and what was bad. But now, I don't know where it flipped on us. But somehow the anti-hero came, you know, the reluctant hero, the, you know, the one that had some, you know, what was the Bruce Willis? He was in Die Hard. The man was basically a drunk, you know, and, you know, just everything else, no offense, he just was. But, you know, he saved the day time and time again. And I think that was when it was slowly turning around. So I do tend to like the anti-hero or the darker one. And I agree with you. Just have to find that combination of not making – they're not too repulsive, you know. They're not too like Saw, you know. I say those movies, I've always – I'm sorry, no offense to anybody that likes them. I didn't like them. And I know, you know, if you've never seen them, the only thing I know of is just someone, I think they were hurt when they were a child and they grew up and they did bad things. I just still cannot relate to that particular character only for the simple fact of how heinous the actions were. So I guess there's a balance for everyone. Someone else may be like, well, you know, but I think that's the key. But what do you think? You guys think that flip may, you know, that flip of the bad guys are the good ones.
Think,
you know, we like them.
I think they always, I think it actually started in a lot of ways with Hollywood because you have certain actors that can take over roles. And one that actually comes to mind is one of the best John Wayne movies, Rio Bravo. You know, because the anti-heroes are always damaged. You have some kind of damage. The good guys tend not to be damaged. The bad guys are just, you know, they were always psychotic. It was always a clear-cut thing. And then he had, in that movie, he had Dean Martin's character, dude, and he was a drunk. He was once one of the best gunfighters around, but then he became a drunk because a woman came into town, messed with his heart, and then crawled into a bottle. And throughout the movie, you know, with the other ones, other people helping him, he, you know, kind of straightens himself out, and he gets back to where he was again. And he was very pivotal in the final sequence of the movie, but them actually, you know, defeating the bad guys in it. I think it's just the whole thing. Like, you have certain actors like Dean Martin that, you know, he could pull it off. If you've never seen the movie, I mean, you can Google it, like, you know, whether Netflix, whatever, the first, I think, 5 minutes of our very first scene, there's not a dialogue. It's like a 5-minute scene, and there's no dialogue at all. And Martin owned the scene. He basically went into the saloon. The bad guy basically threw a coin in a spittoon for him to fish out to be able to buy a drink.
Wow.
You know, he's kind of looking at him, kind of shaking his head no, and Martin, so he's sitting there, you know, without saying a word, kind of rubbing his face. He's alcoholic, and he's going to do this, he's going to do that. You know, so it's like, and he totally sells the scene. He's like basically the dreg of humanity at that point. He is as low as you can go. He's hitting bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the movie is kind of like his, you know, his rise up there, but it's a side story, it's a backstory, so you don't pay much attention to it. But because of his performance, you feel it. And it really draws you in. Because I think that's what really started. You get the certain ones, like him and that one, another Wayne movie, it's basically almost a direct copy of it with Robert Mitchum when he had the same thing. When he was a sheriff in town, he became drunk because of a woman. You know, a woman came in, played with his heart and left. I can't think of the name offhand, but it's like see it. If certain actors, like, you know, good actors that came in and they owned the roles, I think that's where it kind of started. People like, you know, this would be pretty good with that. You know, even before then, you have Batman that came out like the 1920s or 1930s where his parents were killed. He's already
right.
a dark character. But he always had that moral code where he would never kill, he never used guns. He would never shoot anybody. He would never kill anybody, you know, because of his parents dying. So he had a certain moral code, but he was already a dark character. He's always already was pretty much of an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as the people, I guess, start getting away from the whole thing, like World War II, like we were the good guys, the other guys are bad guys, and starting getting more like in the Korean era, the Vietnam era, where the lines became more and more blurred, and that's when they really started taking off. And between Hollywood, the performances actors gave, you know, comic books, and just reality, people started seeing, you know, most of life is gray. It's not black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what really kind of took off.
In the 80s, and I know this sounds crazy, but like, I don't know if you remember John Travolta in his movie, you know, he always played in those, you know, either those funny, the comedies and things like that, but then, I can't remember the name of the movie, late 80s, early 90s, somewhere around in there, he started playing evil God.
Mm-hmm.
So, for whatever reason, and it was someone else that did the same thing, when they... And I think it's like you were saying about these men, you know, the Mitchum and John Wayne. And I used to love John Wayne. I really did. I loved John Wayne. when you, and Dean Martin and all of them, when you see these people that are good, you know, you just see them always good, and then they're all of a sudden they're doing the bad. I noticed they really are really good at playing bad characters. And I don't know if it's just something, you know, in myself as a viewer thinking, wow, it just seems even scarier when, you know, I see that, when I see someone that's so good and then all of a sudden, you know, they're evil or whatever. And then on the other flip, on the other side, I saw movies and I can't think of one, but I've seen it where you'll have these perfect, almost Stafford people, you know, they're perfectly, you know, good, so good that they're evil. Do you know what I mean? Like the Stepford Wives and all of that. They're just so good that they're evil. So I just think that it's funny how that's flipped. Now, this is different from what you opened with, because I agree, if, you know, if there's a reason, there's a trigger, or if there's something for the viewer or whoever to get a hold of, then it will almost, in our minds, because I think humans, we always have to have a reason, you know, or we're not comfortable, then we can excuse it. But like with Seinfeld, they really didn't have, that was just them. So I have yet to see another show like that where these people, you know, there was nothing, you know, there was no abuse or nothing so detrimental that changed them. They literally was just normal folks. And, you know, and I've never seen a balance like that since. That's why I love that show, and it was just so real life. So I think it is cool to do that. What about you guys, Jamie? Do you? I'm gonna give you an example in my writing group. I'm sorry, I don't mean. I feel like I'm just talking, but I'm so sorry. I am gonna say this real quick. I promise. In my writing group. One of my members, she's creating this, you know, young adult story, and she's got, you know, their vampires in it or whatever, and she wants to make one of her characters just heinous, you know the vampire's just supposed to be bad, you know, whatever. But every time I like them, I'm like, I just don't, and I don't know if we as a society are so desensitized. That, you know, I mean, the character is not bad to me. I'm, you know, every time, you know, the character does something, I'm like, oh, they're just feisty, you know. So, yeah, I think it's me, because I'm thinking like Spike, you know, and we were talking about Buffy, Jamie.
Well,
you know,
because
he was doing heinous
stuff.
Like,
I think you're just getting a little messed up.
Yeah, that is true. I think I am just kidding. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Well,
no,
you know,
no, yours
like,
kind of
yeah,
messed with me.
But I think,
yeah,
I think there's
no.
something to that where kind of like after a while you almost get like, yeah,
okay,
everyone
cool.
is like making so many characters like so dark and like making things so crazy. It's like, see, people, I guess, sometimes feel like they have to just keep going darker and darker.
And just there's no, like, I have a perfect show for you guys, Dexter. That, I don't know if you've ever seen that show. It literally is about a serial killer. Yeah, I watched, I think I got through half the first season or whatever, but then I'm going to be, this is nothing against the show. The show's gone now, but my mind couldn't wrap around the fact that this was a bad guy. I mean, he was a serial killer. A serial killer, and he's the main person. And yeah, he only killed bad people, but, and it was like every time I looked at the show and I liked it, I felt bad for liking it. And then after a while, I just couldn't do it anymore. So it's kind of what you just said, Jamie, and CP, I'm throwing this out to either one of you. Do you think there's going to be a point where we're saying, yeah, no, guys, we need to pull that back a little bit? You know, I mean, it's good to like the dark,
well, probably.
But, you know.
I mean, everything goes through its phases.
Yeah. And then we'll go back to the stuffer life.
If you look at all things, like I said, like, you know, look at Seinfeld, you look at, like, Friday the 13th, you look at, like, Anthony, like, Spike and everything, they're always the outcasts. They're the ones people don't
True.
Want around. They're the people that, mm-hmm. you know, others in school, you know, like I said, like in Seinfeld, those four are, like, the only friends they had in high school. No one else likes them. You know, to go through
okay.
relationship to relationship, and it's like, and a lot of people, you know, I mean, it's easy to relate to because it's like, again, you have it, you sit there, and it's like, okay, well, you know, you're an outcast. You read too much. You watch too many movies. You dress funny. You don't dress in the cool trends. And this, you know, so everyone has those different little things. Like for our, John, you always have like that. That someone's always an outsider, and those are almost never the characters they plan on being big. Like Spike is supposed to be like a one or two time thing, but people loved him. Fans loved him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Nightmare on Elm Street with Freddy Krueger. People love Freddy Krueger because Robert Englund's performance, because he made him an entertaining character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have all the different ones there where people just see it and they just love it. You know, they see themselves. They see like the, like I said, you see deeper trends in the movies, like, you know, that aren't meant to be there. They didn't write them there, just like in books. And you just write a simple
mm-hmm.
story and people will, like, you know, just tear it apart. And, oh, this is great. You know, this is a great story about this or about that. And it wasn't meant that, but people will see what they see and then they'll want more of it. You know, they'll see the underlying love thing. They'll see, like, well, something like I said in the movie, oh, that, you know, that guy's a jock. Oh, that the jock used to really pick on me. Oh, yeah, get him, Jason. Get him or get him, Freddy. You know, it's kind of people almost, like, living vicariously through them and doing that. And it's like, you have, and like, in Spike, yeah, okay, well, Spike comes in. Yeah, he's a badass. No one can really beat him up. You know, you can kick Angel's, you know, Angel's back, so he beat up, you know, Buffy. No one can really stop unless he has interference or he stops himself. And a lot of people want to be like that. They want to be like that superhero, that like a Superman type of character where no one can beat them. You know, they want to be that badass that comes into town and sitting there, yeah, I own this place. And that's like, that's a character. And it's like, okay. You know, it's like people like to go in there and then have to be able to back it up instead of just talking. It's something that's a lot of the way it's sold. You know, a lot of them are sold. You know, people just say they love them. Like, I thought people tell me, like, oh, I love this character. You're going to make a sequel based on this character? I'm like, I never planned it. I actually, it's a miracle that character lived that long in that book. You know, I didn't really expect him to survive or her to survive or whatever. It's like, you know, okay. I mean, people love him. That's great. If it's that way, like they see, you know, maybe it's just because they see another character that just reminds them of someone they really couldn't stand. Like someone tormented them or just someone that, you know, they just don't like flat out. Whatever reason, you know, if it's someone they can sit there like, oh, I felt like that. Okay. You know, just having that commonality sometimes works, and that's where you can get, if you look at it, like, okay, can you do these characters like this then? And like I said, that's a very, it's a tricky thing, because you've got to basically have enough commonalities in there to do that, and then you actually have to add a backstory in to build on the character. You can't just have a two-dimensional character and expect it to carry the story. You know, it's really not going to work too often. So it would be very hard to pull off, but like, that's kind of how I look at like Seinfeld. It's like, I mean, right there is proof. You can do it without characters that are likable, but characters that,
mm-hmm.
you know, have traits that everyone sees in themselves. So I kind of think that'd be an interesting experiment to do at some point. If nothing else, just
you
to
know,
get people fired up.
I never thought about Seinfeld like that. I never thought about it until you mentioned it. And you're right. They were more of an outcast or whatnot. And so
yes.
Now that you said it, okay, that makes sense to me. You know, you know, maybe, you know, the reason they were the way they were. But very, very cool. Well, it gives you a lot to think about. And I guess now I don't feel so bad that I like the darkness. Now, still, you know, there is a point where I start worrying about myself, like the deck store or with your store, Jamie, you know, things like that. When I don't flinch, then I do need to maybe look at myself a little bit. But, you know, I think I'm pretty good right now. All right. Well, how is Nano going? Because we're down to the last few minutes, but I did want to ask how that was going.
Well, I'm actually in trouble because between 8 o'clock and 8:40, I wrote 1,100 words for the day. So right now, I am just above the average for 2 days right now. I wrote like 2,200 yesterday, and then like 1,100 some odd today. So I'm just above the 2-day average. So if I can crank out, like, say, another 1,000 so today, I'll be back to my normal ratio. So I'm kind of in trouble in the house here because she's a couple hundred shy. I'm not. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. I'm getting there. Wow. I'm getting there. I have an editing project I'm working on, too, right now, but I'm getting there. I'm working on it. And
I got this.
That's probably going to get me in trouble when I send it.
Uh-oh.
So you're doing other stuff. You're just doing things.
Yeah, that's
doing
like both of us right now. Because all of a sudden people are sending editing and everything else. It's like,
yeah.
You know, can we wait till December 1st, guys?
Yeah. just remember, Michelle, when you get these next few chapters that I send you, I like you.
Jamie, we are on air. Like, as long as nothing has happened to him or her or them, we're good.
I like you.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
I just got to take this point to Shauna. Like, she has been saying no to all my ideas, so I am not to blame for any of this. You know, I've been trying to get her to follow my ideas. She's refusing all my ideas, so this is 100% Jamie White's work. There's no CP by Lois and fingerprints on this at all.
Well, you know what? I'm actually thank, and I will shout out our NaNoWriMo ML, Jolly Atia. Hi, Jolly, don't hate me for this because I'm like kind of like throwing a little bit of blame your way. But I was writing a certain scene because she's been talking at our Nano things about, well, is there a way to, you know, solve a problem? If so, eliminate it. You know, if you can like solve it easy, eliminate it. Is there something to make things better? Don't.
No.
I'm like. So that's
you
kind of like
somebody?
That kind of got in my head, I think, and like that sort of like came out. I wasn't intending for it to come out, but okay.
You see, I get a kick out because right now in mine, I'm writing the One Sword and the Flame book, and I basically have a princess that's basically going back to assassinate her father to stop a war. So I'm kind
oh
of already
gosh,
in a little, I'm kind of in that little dark. So I'm sitting there, I got my own little news flying around there. So I'm like, so she's doing that over there. I'm kind of like, oh. I'm assuming it's something in the air because everyone seems a little bit darker lately. So I was like, okay.
I know. What's happening? God. You have got
let's
to stop playing those jokes. Oh, my goodness.
Whatever happened in there, a certain character is very pissed right now.
Oh, I don't blame her. Oh, my goodness. As long as
I didn't say it was her.
Oh, Nassim.
I
didn't
say she was pissed. I didn't say he was
okay.
pissed. A certain character is pissed. That is all I will say.
Well, I hope it's the woman. You know, the woman I have been telling you about that you won't believe me is evil. I hope it's her. She won't believe
it. I told you we already resolved that. We have already resolved that.
And then over here in the Sword of the Flame, you got folks killing fathers, going back in time to do it. You know what, guys? We need to find our happy place again. What's going on? Find your happy place, people. All right. No, you guys are awesome. You're awesome. A little scary, but awesome. And that's saying a lot, guys, because I like dark things, so. Anyway, we are at the end. And so, CP, how can everyone touch base with you and find your awesome stories?
Oh, they can find me on website at cpbialois, BIALOIS.wordpress.com. Pretty much everything's linked through there. If for whatever reason you can't, you know, find me on Facebook or Twitter, just Google my name. It'll pop up, and you'll win in existence.
Very cool. And Jamie, how can everyone touch base and buy your awesome reads as well?
I have everything linked on my website, jamielwhite.com, JamieLWhite.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, and we hope that you've gotten, you know, some great tips and techniques, and that you will join us on Friday for the weekend edition. Also, stop by and chat with us on Facebook. We see you stopping by and looking, so come on in and just chat. You know, we love the chat and love the talk, so please do that. All right, that is it. We hope you have a wonderful evening. Why? Because you deserve it. And everyone that's doing nano, happy nanoing. Best of luck. Get those words in. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.